Abba, Father, I come before you, we come before you this morning, November 28th, 2023. We put this under the blood of Jesus. We ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask that you make my tongue the pen of a ready writer, that you lay it out the way you want it to, what you are showing me. Father God, we bind up the powers of darkness. Principalities, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, vain traditions and philosophies of men. We stop the eyes of the watcher and the ears of the hearers that are not holy. Only the holy ones of God and the saints of God may have understanding. The wicked will not understand, according to Daniel 12, Father. And we enter in, Father, before your throne room, your council in heaven. We ask you that you would release the revelation and the instruction and the teaching and the guidance so that your people will not perish for a lack of knowledge. We commit this time to you in Yeshua HaMashiach, our soon returning Messiah. Maranatha, Lord. Thank you for joining me. This is called The Last of the Giants? And the Lord has really been breaking this down for a couple of days. I've been waiting for the timing as we come into Hanukkah, December 8th. It's the beginning. It's the eight-day festival. It's very symbolic. It's when Allenby came in and possessed the gates of Jerusalem for the Western world, for the Christian world, and took it away from the Ottoman Empire under Turkish rule. It's also a rededication of the altar spoken of in John, where Jesus went into the winter feast for the dedication of the temple. And it was when the temple was taken from under Grecian rule during the Maccabees' time. And the Greek powers were overthrown, the jurisdiction there. And the altar of Zeus was in the temple. They were slaughtering pigs. It had become defiled. It became a temple of abominations. The things that are offensive to the Lord. So it's the rededication of the temple. Hanukkah speaks of this. It's also like, so a second actually, Sukkot, a second Feast of Tabernacles, because the Feast of Tabernacles talks about the temporary dwellings, the temple that we are, God with us, inviting all these themes, inviting the presence of the Lord back into his house. So the issue will be the temple of the Lord. The issue will be the temple of the Lord. Who's the temple of the Lord? We, the body of Christ that is under the headship of the Lord, not under the political Roman Greco headships, not under the idolatrous pagan abominations that have crept into the apostate church in these final days. Oh, the final days since the day of Pentecost, 2,000 years. We are in the final days. We're in the summary time of the prophecies. All what the prophets wrote about is being restored, that the restoration is coming to the house. But it will not be the house at large. There's a lot of institutional, under the Roman, like I said, Greco, political institutions that the church has fallen under. And those who ministries are under that are leavened. It's just the remnant. It's the remnant. You know, many called, few are chosen. The way is narrow, few are they who find it. So Lord, we want to find your way today. And we thank you and praise you for that. So the themes of Hanukkah, which God will be doing this year, is the altar was defiled with sacrifices of pigs, and the restoration of the temple, the rededication, the feast of dedication. God is going to be dealing with those who seek to know the truth and humble themselves under, you know what, the temple's really dirty, and we have to look at it. If you've ever done house cleaning, you have to figure out what needs to be cleaned in a house to clean it. Therefore, God will be dealing with those who love him and that are called and appointed according to the rank and order of Mount Zion. This is not a democracy. This is a theocracy. The kingdom of God is the king. He's the king. He's the king God. He's a Lord over all. And we choose to put him that way or choose to go in our own thinking according to the teachings that have been in the Western Christian church. And we need to get that leaven out. It leavens the whole lump. Or else our spirits are leavened and the church is leavened. It becomes apostate. So it's a cleansing of the temple. That will be us personally. We will be doing, God is giving us a second time to come and do repentance. And this is mostly for the leadership because it's in change. It's going to be shifting now. And God is removing and still going to continue a bunch of high profile leaders. And he's going to move in the shepherds that are after his own hearts. And I saw him standing over a flock. I saw Jesus in a vision. And he was on a small knoll, and there was his flock, and he had his robes on, and his head was covered, and he had a staff in his hand, and he's watching over the sheep. He's going to separate, and he's going to bring correction, and there will be different levels of that. Some will have their legs broken. You know, when there's a sheep that belongs to the Lord, keeps going astray, God breaks its legs, and then the good shepherd puts him out around his neck, and that sheep or lamb, whatever it may be, his head will rest upon the heart of the Lord, and he will be healed, listening to the Lord's heart, to God's heart, and that sheep will never leave the Lord's side again. This is a severe correction of the Lord. But there are other ways that God disciplines, according to James. The discipline at the time seems grievous, but in the end it brings what? The peaceable fruit of righteousness. You walk in peace, you walk in righteousness, you know, and your enemies rise up. Every tongue that rises up in judgment against you, you shall refute, for this is the heritage of the Lord and his vindication from God. So we walk through these fires in these days, and we walk in his ways. So the altar is the heart. A lot of the leadership heart has been given over to idolatry. Anything that takes precedence over the will of God. This is not, you know, Christianity on my terms or what I think. It's on the terms of the revealed word of God. And that the spirit lines up with that. And that's our rock. We're grounded on the rock. Masur is one of the theme songs. It's the rock, kind of a rock of ages. But there's the Israeli version, and it's kind of our Lord's a mighty fortress. He's a rock. He's the rock of our salvation. His teachings are the rock that when the storms come and we're in the storm, you know, keep me in the storm, Lord, we will not be moved because we are not on the shifting sands of opinionated men's teachings and their kingdom ministries, their ministries that do not line up and conform and are being transformed by the example of Jesus as the head and with the heart. And then when the temple is cleansed, the heart is cleansed, what happens? We come in there's an oil for what? Enough for one lamp. There's eight lamps. Not originally. I mean, there's nine in that Hanukkah menorah, but in the original temple, there's seven. The menorah says, and I believe nine is judgment, is calling of the, you know, and the seven angels are the seven lamps that stand before the throne of God. These are the angels over the churches. These lamp, the one lamp that's lit is the shamash candle, the middle candle, which is servant, which what speaks of what? Yeshua, he's the servant. He came to serve us. He came to lord it over the flock. He's not going to lord it over your will. You want to go your own will and your version of apostate Christianity? That's your choice. My spirit will not always strive with man. But we don't want to do that. We want to fear the Lord. We want to worship him. We want to give him all the exaltation and glory to his name because he saved us from hell. And he has brought us into his counsel, and he's revealed himself to us as we continue to surrender in obedience and then declare the glory of God. So the oil lamp was lit, but there wasn't enough. What? How's the story go? There wasn't enough oil for the other lamps, but miracle upon miracle, as we continue, and what's the filling of it's prayer, it's the word, it's repentance, it's the times of refreshing, it's being awake and looking and watching. And there's several parables regarding the return of the Lord that speak of oil in your lamp and watching and waiting for the husbandman to return and don't be asleep, don't go to sleep, no, not now, the hour's late, it's midnight hours upon us. And we want to be faithful guards of the gates and temple guardians and watching for the master. And this is our obligation. So those are the themes about how God's going to be dealing this Hanukkah and liberating the gates from the enemy. And I will give strength to those who take the battle to the gates. It's His strength. It's His doing. It's His orchestration. Thank you. As a type, Allenby, I think it was in 1917, was the time when the Balfour Declaration came out. So it was an incredible general, and he went from, we came up, I think, from Hebron, actually, it might have been Egypt, I'm not sure, don't quote me on this, but I believe that was he then came through Hebron and then through the Eastern Gate, over the Eastern Ridge, Mount Scopus, into the Eastern Gate of Jerusalem. He walked through the gate because he knew the prophetic word that the Messiah, the returning conqueror, would come through the Eastern Gate. This is why the Eastern Gate around the old city of Jerusalem is walled up. And there's a Muslim cemetery because Islam, the occult religion, is rising up and trying to prevent his return and trying to bring in Mahdi, their version of. And I will put some links and send you to some things for some background teachings. From and exposés, watchings, and from on Islam and Allah, in the notes below this audio file, the last of the giants, and who is the last giant that was conquered by Caleb? It was in Galilee, where Og of Bashan. He was the chief, and he was the king. And that was the last of the giants. And he was up on where? The Golan Heights. Oh my gosh, is that one of the most contested pieces where Syria says, no, it belongs to us. We want to go back to the pre-1967 borders. Yeah, of course they do. They lost. They attacked and they lost. And then the Yom Kippur War. And I've been to a lot of those military bases up along praying and interceding, and the Lord shows me, boots on the ground, this is the layout, this is the strategy of the land. You know, that's what you do in warfare. What's the strategy of the land? What's the strategy of the high places? Who are the principalities? Who is your enemy? Spiritually speaking, this is ancient Babylon has come and is trying to take back what they lost. Praise the Lord.